Valentine's Day, I want to remind you to fall in love. You know, tonight we need to fall back in love again with our Lord. You know, the Bible says to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and all our strength is the first and great commandment. One of the great things about this, though, is when you realize how much you're loved, it's not hard to love God back. It really isn't. It says in 1 Corinthians that, or excuse me, it says that in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. When I realize how much I'm loved by God, I know I'm safe. I know I'm secure. I know there's no fear, because reason to fear, because I am so loved by God. And you are too. We need to fall in love again with the one who loved us first. The Bible says in 1 John 4, and we have known and believed the love of God that God has toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because there's no fear in love. We are so loved. I also want to challenge you to fall in love with your companion again. If you're married, you need to fall in love with your spouse a second time. You need to fall in love again. You've all heard the verses about husbands loving your wives and things of that nature. But you know, I'm just going to brag on my wife just because I don't get to very often. I mean, just because she doesn't like it, but I got the microphone. So she makes it easy to love her because she puts 100% of herself into that spark that is us. I mean that now. You know, people say, the book His Needs, Her Needs says that one of the man's top needs is to have an attractive wife. And my wife always says, well, it depends what you're attracted to. You need to be attracted to that spark that caught your eye and captured your heart and took your breath away. And you need to rekindle that spark all the time. The Bible says in Psalm 128 and verse 3, the wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. You know, besides salvation, my wife is the best choice I ever made. Now, I'm going to get a little smaltzy, all right? I started making a list of the reasons why I love her, okay? And I hope these resonate with you, okay? I love Sarah because she prays for me. I love Sarah because she gets me. Let me tell you something. That's hard to find. She gets me. She doesn't always like me, but she understands me. She kisses me like she means it. When her arms are around me, I feel like I can do anything. I had a huge change in my career, and I felt safe to do it because one day she put her arms around me and said, I believe you're going to take care of me. If you don't like what you do, change it. I know as long as we're together, you're going to take care of me, so it doesn't matter. I feel like I can do anything. She shares my faith and my values. She's shown me over the years that I can trust her. I know without a doubt she loves me too. She smiles when our eyes meet. That's how you know she loves you. Is when you make eye contact and she smiles. She helps me without asking, without me having to ask. When I'm irritable, and I know that's hard to believe, she forgives me. She doesn't demand more than I can give her. She's shown me grace every time I messed up. She makes me feel like I belong. She is my center. You know, I love the Lord, but she was saved first. And it was her testimony that helped me come to know the Lord as my Savior, but she's my home. She's my center. She keeps my secrets. She never tried to change who I am. She always prayed and made God do it. She made God put the thumb to me. She's never been indifferent about my love toward her. She always forgives me. She knows how to say difficult things without hurting me. She laughs out loud with me. She always gives me the benefit of the doubt. It's important to Sarah that I'm happy. When I need her, she drops everything and she comforts me. She doesn't expect me to be everything all at once. When I want to talk, she listens. She always makes things fun. She gives me freedom to take care of the other people that are important to me. And when I reach out for her, she always reaches back. And she's never caused me heartache. She's enriched my life in many ways I never dreamed possible. She encouraged me as me in all I do. She sees the best in me. And I mean this. I'm talking about, we'll be married 34 years this June. 34 years. She tells me what she needs from me. And girls, that's a huge help. That's a huge help. We're a bunch of, all men are big dogs that can talk. That's all we are. And so if you got to tell us what you need, right? She understands my needs. She's made a life with me. She's my best friend. And without her, my life would be less than it has become. You see, it's time to fall in love with your spouse again. February is not just about Valentine's Day. It's about what the heart represents. It's about two people welding themselves, melding themselves together to be inseparable, to be one whole person. Now, I know that sounds goofy, but I got bad hips. She's got bad knees. We'll walk through the store holding hands, and people will go, "Oh, that's so cute." And I go, "We have to. We'll fall down." We're one whole person. She can reach the stuff down low, and I can reach the stuff up high. She can see far, and I can see near. I can hear. I mean, she helps me drive all the time. Praise the Lord. Together, we're one whole person. It's time to fall in love with your spouse again, guys. Ladies, you know, Zig Ziglar said one time, after he'd been married 50 plus years, it dawned on him that he called her the redhead. And Mrs. Ziglar, yeah. He called her the redhead. He said, "You know, I love the redhead more now today than I ever did, than I did the day I married her." And it dawned on him when he said it out loud. He thought, "Wow, how is that possible?" Because of God. Because of God's love. When you receive God's love, you have the ability to love others. You have the ability to love somebody like God does, with grace, seeing them the way God sees them, in perfection. You know, so we need to fall in love with Christ first. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you. You know, we're all sinners, and we're all headed for hell except for Christ to put himself on a cross for me and for you. And when we call upon him and believe that he died and rose again, we're now a child of God, and the love of God flows in us. And now I can fall in love with my wife all over again. You need to fall in love with your children again. You know, the Bible speaks of them as our heritage. It's the only thing you get to take to heaven. It really is. The souls you win to Christ and the person you become in Christ is the only thing that gets to go to heaven with you. And you know, heaven won't be complete if your kids aren't there. It'll be glorious and grand because Jesus is there. But it says in the book of the Revelation, I love the idea of no tears in heaven, but the Bible says in Revelation, God has to manually wipe them away from us three different times. Heaven just won't be complete if our kids aren't there. It says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. They're our heritage. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And the Bible says he gave us kids for a purpose. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 8. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. You need to fall in love with Christ. You need to fall in love with your companion. You need to fall in love with your children. You need to fall in love with your church. You've all heard the verses in Hebrews 10. I won't quote them. But you know, you need to be here for God. But you need to be here for others too. The Bible says, Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. That's 2 Corinthians 5 or 12:15. You need to be here for the Lord, but you also need to be here for others. And then lastly, it is our desire that you would fall in love with your community. The people around this church are looking. They don't know. Some of them don't know the Lord as their Savior, and they're lost. And they have no concept of the love you and I have received. But then there's some that do know the Lord, but they're just wandering, and they have no connection, and they have no family. They need a place they can call home. And that's where you and I come in. By loving the people we work with, and we meet at the stores and in our community. Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He went on to say, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Paul was so burdened for the Jewish people, he would be willing to go to hell if all of them got saved. You know, we have a testimony. You have a testimony, I have a testimony. And what people think about us is what they think about God. We need to fall in love with the community around us. They're not always easy or friendly, but neither was I before I became a Christian. I was not easy to get along with, nor was I very friendly. And the truth is, if it weren't for Christ, I doubt many of us would be sitting in the same room tonight. Really, I believe that. I know you wouldn't be sitting with me because I know how rough I was. But somebody fell in love with us and the idea of reaching us for Christ, and it's changed our family. It's changed the destiny of my children. Out of all my siblings, I'm the one that knows the Lord. And I love my siblings, but I know the Lord, and they don't. My children are the only grandchildren my parents have that are going to heaven, that have made a profession and said, "I know Jesus as my personal Savior." And you got to understand, we have a legacy to leave to the next generation, and it's because we love the Lord more than we love ourselves. We did everything in our power to stay married to our spouse and live the Christian life in front of them. And we raise our kids to see the Bible lived in shoe leather. You know, life doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go. But that doesn't mean your life's over. Doesn't mean that you're done. Doesn't mean that you can't be a blessing to the next generation or to the people around you. But you'll have to fall in love again with Christ, your companion, your children, and your community. Just a little challenge tonight to encourage you. List the things you love about the Lord. It'll do you good. List the things you love about your spouse. It'll help make them loving them easier. List the things you love about your kids. Help them to see what's good in their life, not just what's not right or wrong. Love them more. Love them consistently. Love them until you breathe your last breath, and that'll be a life well lived. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you, and the fellowship has been sweet tonight. The fun, and we love the children. Thank you, God, for them. Help us tonight, God, to fall back in love with each of these people that we may be used of you for your glory. And Father, the future is bright because you're there. Heaven is sweet because you're there. Help us, Father, to reach others that they may go as well. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may look this way.